The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This morning rush, things should mitigate somewhat. I know there are some slick spots out there. Some snow flurries around the region and dealing with this cold air, 21 degrees at the airport. But then we're going to be up to near 50 on Sunday, and we will get into the 50s early next week. Meanwhile, jobs report comes out this morning. It'll be interesting to see, and we've heard a lot over the last couple of months about efforts to improve downtown Pittsburgh, including a long-term plan that the governor is participating in with stakeholders that'll be over a 10-year period. But how much the empty office space is costing Pittsburgh is the subject of an article written by Tim Schooley with the Pittsburgh Business Times. Tim, good morning. Welcome back to KDKA.
Good morning, Larry. Actually, although I'm subbing in for a colleague on this, I cover the subject, but Ethan and a colleague in National wrote this. But yeah, I'm here for you.
Yeah, well, I am curious. Give us some kind of idea of where exactly Pittsburgh, downtown Pittsburgh, stands when it comes to office space. We always, through the course of years, we know the occupancy rate of our commercial downtown offices. Where are we today, and where were we at our height?
Well, we're around different firms have different statistics for that, but one I've seen is that downtown's vacancy is around 19.5% now, and that's relatively high. It's maybe down slightly, but generally a healthy office market is around 10%.
And so what is this costing the city to have less people downtown? And obviously, we understand the residual effects of that with restaurateurs and all that goes with having a active and viable city.
Well, a study that we reported on put 16.2 million square feet of office space in Pittsburgh as vacant and projected based on rental rates, that was expected to translate to $407 million in lost rent value for the building owners.
So it also doesn't include the fact that then the owners of these buildings can, since there are less value to their building, then that affects what the state or the city and the county are able to get in terms of taxes, right?
Yeah, downtown's real estate represents about 25% of the city's real estate revenue collection. So it's a huge determinant of the city and the county's tax base.
So in the midst of this, what's the game plan to try to turn the tide here?
Well, we saw in October the governor come in, and there's a combined effort to invest upwards of $600 million to convert a number of buildings into residential, and that's going to be a huge positive jolt. The question becomes: there's still some bigger buildings that are going to be very hard to convert that weren't included in this, and what happens with them is still a huge open question.
Yeah, and also, I know there has been a move with a lot of companies to encourage their remote workers to come back. How's that going in Pittsburgh?
Oh, it depends on the employer you're talking to. I mean, it's happening with a lot of them. The question is what happens with, you know, big companies like PNC. PNC is a huge employer downtown, and the last time I saw the CEO of the company talk about it, and they were still dealing with a fraction of the people that they had in the past.
I'm curious about the FNB building, the brand new building that's gone up on the site of the old Civic Arena right there next to PPG Paints. They're obviously the anchor tenant of that. Do you have any idea what the occupancy rate will be when it's completely done?
That's a bit of a moving target. I haven't seen any recent stat on that. FNB is taking more and more space in the building. So and companies affiliated with F&B are joining them. So it's coming along, but I don't have the latest stats on that one, I regret to say.
Yeah, that whole area that is meant to reconnect the Hill District with downtown Pittsburgh has been under the works for a long, long time, but we don't see really much of anything else outside of the, you know, the F&B building is a tall tower. It's our newest skyscraper. But the area in between, I don't see much going on there, and it's supposed to be under development. So it's taken forever, and I know they've gone through challenging times with COVID and all those things, but hopefully they'll be able to get to a place where they actually do reconnect the Hill District to the city.
Well, they are teed up. They have everything they need to build a new Live Nation performance venue, and I believe there's a community meeting coming up with that moving forward. So that looks like that's all but ready to go, and they're probably just trying to hash out some details before they start construction. So that is on the way, and we'll just have to see what happens with everything else.
Read all about it, the Pittsburgh Business Times. Tim Schooley, thanks for your time. Have a great weekend. Morning show, inviting you Wednesday, December 18th, our Odyssey Pittsburgh stations. We'll be flipping the turntables, turning Mike's Beer Bar into the biggest Christmas karaoke spot on the North Shore. Our on-air hosts and local celebrities will take the mic for celebrity karaoke to support Light of Life Rescue Mission. And they have been doing such great work in our hometown for so long. Brought to you by Monster Brewing High Life. Again, that's Wednesday, December 18th, Mike's Beer Bar, which is right there across from PNC Park. To give you a frame of reference, and I don't know who from here singing on the KDKA side, but we have 93.7 The Fan, Y108 Country, 107 Star with Bubba, and we also have WAMO, Whammo.
And you're singing?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'll give you what Aaron, our producer, said. That was a definite maybe. But if you were to pick a Christmas song, do you have a favorite? Right now, it looks like Mariah Carey's song is, you know, that's become kind of the new.
Oh, yeah. I would never take that on if I couldn't hit that whistle note at the end. But I would maybe sing Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. I don't know who sings that song.
Oh, that's a real old school country, right? Brenda Lee? Was it, Paul?
Yeah,
that's right. Around the Christmas
tree. I think
that's
right. Yep.
I feel like that's one you can showcase a little bit of skill, but have fun.
Well, you know, Bing Crosby's White Christmas, I think he sang that in the summer, and they had no idea the hit it would be. But that's going
no,
back.
No, that, like, yeah, exactly.
They just thought it was kind of a throwaway. I don't know. What Christmas song would you sing?
Which one would I sing?
Yeah. You have a favorite?
Silver Bells.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I like Silver Bells.
Marty Griffin's going to sing at the celebrity karaoke.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Did you see the video, by the way, of that?
Mm-mm.
Truly.
The cars?
No, Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Oh, no.
There's a viral video that's out of a group of people, including some parents and grandparents, walking, it looks like a school, and they're coming across the street, and all of a sudden, a small herd of deer come charging through the crowd, and the only one that got hit was a grandma.
Oh, my goodness.
Apparently, she's all right, but she got knocked down She did. She literally got run over by a reindeer. So somebody knew.
Yikes.
Years ago what they were talking about. All right. One of the big national stories of great interest is what happened in New York City a couple of mornings ago.
So is there anything new today?
There is. CBS's Jared Hill with an update.
There's another possible piece of evidence here. They think they recovered a coffee cup the guy might have used. It's been dusted for fingerprints and the samples sent to the NYPD crime lab. Just the latest potential puzzle piece to help solve this shocking killing.
This morning, authorities are combing through new evidence linked to the brazen killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. NYPD have released two new images of the man wanted for questioning. The man smiling.
The police was like right there, and the Iceland fellow told me that his friend was in the same room as that guy, and he was like, no, I'm sure that's it.
Thursday, officers searched the hostel just a few miles from the crime scene as they pieced together a timeline. Officials say the man checked in days before with a fake New Jersey ID. Then, the morning of the killing, at 6:15 a.m., the suspected shooter walked out of a subway station north of the Hilton Hotel. 2 minutes later, cameras inside a nearby Starbucks captured his partially covered face. About half an hour later, police believe he shot and killed Thompson outside the hotel before escaping through an alleyway, then riding a bike to Central Park, where police say he was spotted on surveillance cameras. Less than 15 minutes after the shooting, he left the park and was seen on a home security camera. Richard Esposito is a former NYPD deputy commissioner.
I wouldn't call this person a professional. Professionals, hitmen, assassins, they're in and out, and they're gone.
As the manhunt continues, CBS News confirmed shell casings found at the scene were inscribed with words typically critical of the insurance industry.
We've learned that deny, delay, and potentially the word depose were written in Sharpie on the ammunition. It's similar to the phrase delay, deny, defend, which is how some lawyers describe the way that insurance companies handle payments. It's also the title of a 2010 book that was critical of the industry. Police have not commented on any connection, but UnitedHealthcare and its competitors have been criticized by doctors, patients, lawmakers for denying claims or making it hard to get care. In a recent survey, actually, from Kaiser Family Foundation, about two-thirds of Americans said health insurance companies deserve a lot of blame for high healthcare costs, and Thompson's killing is and the possible motive here are reigniting that conversation.
CBS's Jared Hill.
There's an excellent article about this topic toward the end of the story about the angst that people are feeling by the tens of thousands, perhaps even more, and it's in the Wall Street Journal this morning. It really goes in depth on this animus there is in the public about, you know, how their insurance claims are being handled and the way that they, the way that insurance companies respond to complaints about denial of coverage. It's very, very instructional. And I would add Anthem Blue Cross, which is, I think, based in California, had announced that they were no longer going to pay for anesthesia that went beyond a certain time, a set time during a surgery. And the outcry was so intense that they reversed themselves.
They did.
Yeah. And can you imagine being in surgery and then a complication arises and your surgeon needs to give you more anesthesia and then you find out that you're being charged for that because of something that you had no control over? I mean, that's just, and I'm on our union health plan, and guess who is the coverage? Anthem Blue Cross.
I know.
I mean, it just really hit me.
That whole industry.
There's something going on here in our society that this shooting is uncovering.
And that's certainly no excuse for an execution-style shooting.
No, it's not. It's that's separate. But the Wall Street Journal article on this, if you have access to the WSJ, this is really good reporting.
There are, because of the cameras set up in New York City.
He's seen everywhere, yeah. Larry.
The shooter boarded a bus in Atlanta the day before Thanksgiving, sources are reporting to the New York Police Department. And they have some good photographs of this suspect now.
The one at the hostel, he seems to be flirting with the desk clerk.
Yeah, he's smiling, seen while he's in a, he went to a Subway, a Starbucks, and they have him. Pretty good picture. And if someone knew this suspect, I think there's enough of a photograph there to identify him.
Well, I'm sure there is. It's only a matter of time. And when you look at the timeline that they're laying out, I saw a graphic just yesterday in one of the papers, and they had the map and showing little pin spots about where he was at this time and this time and this time. I mean, he's everything he did was caught on camera.
Yeah, but some suggesting that he's not a professional hitman like some people thought because he used the silencer, walked up the way. You've seen it. We've seen this in movies and on television.
No, this is right. This is fantasy stuff.
Playing out as a real life situation is horrifying. And when you can't unsee it once you see it. And the fact that there is a man dead because of it, whose wife says that he had received death threats. So I feel confident they're going to be able to find this suspect.
I agree.
He appears to be a fairly young Caucasian male. And
well, when they released the picture yesterday of it was full face, I said it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, they will find him. Coming to Acrisure Stadium July 5th, along with Rod Stewart. The big announcement made yesterday by Pat Freiermuth, big Steelers tight end, and Bob Pompiani. Pomping ain't easy, Paul. It just isn't.
No, it certainly isn't. The guy never stops, really.
We got to have Pomp do a dance routine during both acts, but we'll get to that later.
He loves to dance. Is he still doing TikTok dance videos?
I haven't seen one very recently, but I used to see a series of Bob while he's doing all his other jobs. He's busier than Ryan Seacrest.
No question.
He has more shows involved. And joining us to talk about a real practical part of what's going on this weekend and next summer is Merrill Stabile, president of Alco Parking, the oldest and largest parking operator in Pittsburgh, company founded by his grandfather when they were parking horse and buggies over at Exposition Park. Merrill, good morning.
Thank you for the introduction, Larry.
That may have been a stretch, that part. But, yeah. You know, what's ironic, Merrill, as you know very well, I used to think that when Three Rivers Stadium was over there, it was basically this giant cement donut and an asphalt tundra. And now look at everything that's going on in the North Shore. But from a practical standpoint, you've had to shrink the parking areas around the region and go up instead of out, right?
That's exactly correct.
And that said, let's talk about for this show next summer. There's a link and a tie-in, as I understand it, when you get your tickets.
That's what we ultimately would like to have, but I will say that we will be not right away, but as soon as, not long after the tickets for sale, you'll be able to pre-purchase your parking. Sometimes we are able to bundle it and sometimes we aren't. It's a long story on that matter, but the ultimate goal is someday to always be doing that. But in this particular case, we'll go out on social media and our website to let people know that they can pre-purchase their parking well in advance of the concert.
Merrill, this is Paul Rasmussen. Are you cooperating with or in acting in concert with any of the websites, the apps that are helping people find parking places now?
Yes, ParkWiz and ParkMobile are the ones that we are using, and that's probably we'll be telling people when those will be usable in order to secure a parking space.
Yeah, that said, that way you know you got a space coming down to the North Shore. Let's talk about like a Steeler Day, 1 o'clock kickoff Sunday with the Browns. We know all those immediate spaces around the area are already spoken for, but is there a waiting list? Can somebody get on that list now for future parking for games, or are there availabilities?
Well, there's two things, Larry. There's seasonal reserve parking, which is what, most people have. But there always is a handful of spaces that you can pre-purchase so that, we recommend anybody can go on and check it out and see what's available. It may not be. I would tell you the surface lot spaces are pretty much spoken for. But as far as some of the garages down on the North Shore, those are the ones where you can often buy some spaces.
And that said, I know because of the shrinking, just the footprint, you've heard a lot about tailgating, and people still like to tailgate. They're still able to do that in some places, though, right?
Yes. Anywhere there's a surface lot, we allow tailgating. We just, as I've said in the past, you know, we tell people that it just can't get too big.
And I'm curious, what are, I was in Boston last Friday, went to the Pens-Bruins game, and I happened to notice the parking there was $60 around the arena. Oh, yeah, I know.
Wow.
What's a space cost for a Steelers game these days?
It varies, you know, as depending on how close you get to the stadium, but we're not quite that high. We are, I mean, I'm talking about the lots under the stadium authority. I can't speak for some of the other ones, but, you know, like lots one, I think it's 40.
$30?
40 or 45 bucks, yes.
All right, and there has been a significant change in the fact that, like the stadiums, you've gone to electronic spots, right, where you have to have a mobile parking ticket, correct?
That is correct. We no longer have the hanging tags.
Yeah, so that people need to be aware of that. It's important, though, but if you get your space in advance, nice to know you have that ready to go. So, Merrill, are you going to be singing or participating in Billy Joel and Rod Stewart?
No, I prefer you to be just the way you are.
Nicely done.
Nicely done. Merrill, have a great weekend. Thank you for the time.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. President of Alco Parking, Merrill Stabile.
You know what I was wondering, and when we covered the story not long ago, and we had some clips with Merrill, he talked about the number of complaints that they were getting about the tailgating. He didn't get specific about it, and he said, you know, we don't want them to get too big, the tailgating gatherings. And it makes me wonder, how big is too big?
Well,
right?
that's a great question.
That's a tough one. I guess that kind of differs on which lot we're talking about and at what spot in which lot, right?
There's some discretion involved there. And I guess it's if it's out of hand in some way, shape, or form, then at some point it could be determined to be too big.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to show up with his wife and kids and then be next to a rowdy gathering where people are using bad language and what have you?
Well, we mentioned in our early part of the show that it's the dry comedian Stephen Wright's birthday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I told Aaron, one of the things he said was, how old are you? How old do you have to be if you die of old age?
How young?
To die of old age? It's kind of like that question. There's some discretion involved. So, yeah, it's always been a challenge. But, you know, people find a way. You know, you have the T, which has been a huge boom since that, to go all the way to the stadium. Both stadiums have stops. And then you also have now this, the world of Uber and Lyft, where people, you know, don't have to park. So if you're paying $45 for a space, you have to decide, well, what's it take if a group of us Uber in mm-hmm. and split the cost? You know, those kind of things.
So, right. Could be the same for all of that.
I guess the real trick there would be getting one out after the game.
Yeah.
Or the concert, right?
That's exactly the issue, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, because if you have plans to go, like, have dinner somewhere or go have a few drinks somewhere and some time passes by and the street's empty up, then I guess it would be easier. But make a night of it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Uber. Who came up with that name anyway?
Uber bus.
To the news at the top of this hour with Paul Rasmussen. Paul, you turned us on to a great story. Aaron and I love this because you talk about a Pittsburgh connection.
This story, when I saw this story, it just moved me.
Roberto Clemente.
Yeah.
There's news of Roberto Clemente. And we're going to talk to his son, Roberto Clemente Jr., and the man who is the curator of the Roberto Clemente Museum, which is right down in Lawrenceville in an old firehouse.
And he also is a key person in the foundation as well, the Roberto Clemente Foundation.
Yeah, I emceed a recent event for them, and they do continuing their father and mother's work all these years later. You know, it's coming up on 52 years since we lost Roberto. But his impact is still felt in many cases, certainly around Major League Baseball and here, but in Puerto Rico and other places too.
Let me just share this little clip with you right here. This is something that was said about Roberto on Capitol Hill this week.
No man means more to the Pirates than the great Roberto Clemente. Buccos fans today wear his number with special pride, and we speak his name with reverence.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. No single player has had a greater impact, certainly in modern history, than Roberto Clemente. And we will tell you what they're doing in Roberto's name, and I think you're going to want to participate and... we'll leave it at that. That's what you call a tease, Aaron. Write that down. It's a big tease.